O God of our fathers, we rejoice this day in the great mercies with which thou hast sustained us, and in the providence that has led us to this hour. We give thee thanks for all who have labored before us to bring us an inheritance that is worthy of the best gifts of sacrificial love we can give to our calling here. May thy Spirit rest upon us as we begin our labors, that our work may be truly thine own. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. By the grace of God, we open the 18th session of the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And may the grace of God, which has sustained us, sustain us still in our venture for the glory of Christ together. Dr. Olin T. Binkley, president of the seminary, regrets very much that it is necessary for him to be in Nashville today to attend a meeting that involves the welfare of this seminary. I can assure you that he would like very much to be with you all today as you begin this year of study. We gather in this place because of the love of God. God's love has brought us here. And our love of God has brought us here. The life of the church begins and ends in the love of God. We are those who share the touch of God's love and know the beckoning providence that sets us upon the great venture of sharing in the unfolding knowledge of God, given to men of faith who respond to love with love. The love of God has brought us here, and the love of God will take us from here, witnesses to the transforming power of the love that compels us and inspires us. We're here because the love of God is behind us and before us. And the task that is set before us together is to grow together in learning and setting forth the love of God, revealed, possessed, and proclaimed in Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells an inquirer that the heart of genuine religion is love of God and neighbor. He quotes passages from the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy and from the 19th chapter of Leviticus. The passage from Deuteronomy tells of love of God informed by heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the word from Leviticus tells of love that finds its fulfillment in concern for the neighbor. We're here today because we have heard in the recesses of our hearts the same word of Jesus spoken so long ago. We're here because we love God and neighbor. Feebly, perhaps, but we love them. Jesus reminds us in his word in Mark that we must love God with our whole selves, emotion, will, and mind. He teaches us to love the neighbor whom we will love more dearly as we understand ourselves and the neighbor as the children of God whom God in Christ redeems. It is no pride that brings us here. It is humility before so great a Redeemer. It is no self-adulation that brings us here. It is joy born of so great a gift. It is not misplaced confidence that brings us here. It is trust in one who out of weakness can make strength. We are here because of his love, which possessing us has thrust us forth, heralds of the love that sustains us, teaching us of the wonder of God's grace and inspiring us to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. We come to our task on this first day of the 18th session in response to the Lord we love and in obedience to his commandment. To love God and neighbor is for us both invitation and command. To learn what it means to love God and neighbor is the great task of the theological seminary, which is the intellectual center of the life of the church. The exercise of the mind is set by Jesus in the words to which we have referred in the context of love. What is this love that brings us here? It is for us the quality of life God has revealed in Jesus Christ. It is life that cares, that spends itself, that inspires, that redeems, that never gives up. It is life that finds its fulfillment in the fulfillment of God's will. It is life that gives because it is received. The gift of God's Son. We love because he first loved us. What is the love that calls for the exercise of all there is of a man, emotion, will, and mind? Let Richard Niebuhr, late Yale theologian, tell us. Love is rejoicing over the loved one. It is the desire that he be rather than not be. It is longing for his presence when he is absent. It is happiness in the thought of him. It is profound satisfaction over everything that makes him great and glorious. Further, love is gratitude. It is thankfulness for the existence of the beloved. It is the happy acceptance of everything that he gives without the jealous feeling that the self ought to be able to do as much. It is gratitude that does not seek equality. It is wonder over the other's gift of himself in companionship. Moreover, love is reverence. It keeps its distance, even as it draws near. It does not seek to absorb the other in the self or want to be absorbed by it. It rejoices in the otherness of the other. It desires the beloved to be what he is and does not seek to refashion him into a replica of the self or to make him a means of the self's advancement. Is reverence love is and seeks knowledge of the other, not by way of curiosity, nor for the sake of gaining power, but in rejoicing and wonder. Also, love is loyalty. It is the willingness to let the self be destroyed rather than that the other cease to be. It is the commitment of the self by self-binding will to make the other great. It is loyalty too to the other's cause. There is no love of God where God's cause is not love.
Now surely these words of this great theologian, which teach us the meaning of love, remind us that such love requires all there is of a man, since such love is directed toward the Creator and Redeemer known in Jesus Christ. And who is my neighbor, whom I am to love as myself? Neighbor suggests that he is the near one and the far one, the one beside the road I travel here and now, the one removed from me by distances in time and space, in convictions and loyalties. He is my friend, the one who has shown compassion toward me, and my enemy who fights against me. He is the one in need, in whose hunger, nakedness, imprisonment, and illness I see or ought to see the universal suffering servant. He is the oppressed one who has not risen in rebellion against my oppression, nor rewarded me according to my deserts as an individual or as a member of a heedlessly exploiting group. In him, Niebuhr says, the image of the universal Redeemer is seen as in a glass darkly. Surely this neighbor requires all the love there is in a man. If we love God with all of the means that he has given us for loving him, we will know him, our neighbor, and ourselves within the fulfillment of his purpose of redeeming love. To learn to live in love with God and neighbor, this is the constraint that draws us together, holds us together in study and reflection, and sends us forth as ambassadors of the Christ. Our love, indeed, is a response to his love. But Jesus reminds us in our lesson that God wants us to share the fellowship that is marked out by God's love of us. God yearns for our love toward him and the neighbor. When we love him with our whole being, and when we love the neighbor as one who shares with us creaturely needy humanity, we truly enter the fellowship marked by Christ. We are here together to understand more clearly what it means to love God and man. At the heart of Christian faith is the conviction that God's gift of the mind is not truly understood as his gift until it is given in service to him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. We give our thought to God, put to the service of love. We will love him with our minds. Our thought will be directed toward him and not away from him. We will love him with thought that never comprehends him fully, but finds fulfillment in placing the mind upon the altar of God. The mind joins the emotions and will in consecration to living out the love of God to God and neighbor. Love that is bereft of the mind of man is not a complete love. And the love of God requires all there is of a man to love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. We are here to grow together in the understanding of love. As the intellectual center of the church's life, The seminary offers to the Most High God the tokens of mine that love him and reflect upon his revelation to his glory and to the service of men. The emotion that rejoices, the will that acts, and the mind that reflects, all of these are the marks of love. It is our special responsibility in this seminary to stimulate the mind, knowing that such service is the mark of love. Let us beware lest we substitute knowledge of the mind for the knowledge of the whole man. Let us caution ourselves to remember that knowledge about God is not the same as knowledge of God. Let us remember that understanding written on the pages of a book must be written on the tablets of the heart. Let us covenant that no idols of the mind will bar our access to the altar of God. Let us give up our minds to God to be taught by him out of the treasures of his grace. And let us never suppose that we love God more by sacrificing the mind than we do by using it. There are some ministers of his word, I am sad to say, who live in the fear that the mind, the gift of God, if exercised, will not take them to God, but will take God from them. So they warm up the heart and freeze the mind, and they put a halo around their mischief and call it the gospel. Let us dedicate our minds to God. Let us probe every path that offers a prospect. Let us think every thought that gives a clue. Let us offer our thought in love and pray God to cleanse us of all that distorts the revelation and darkens the vision of his love. The mind that gives itself with heart and deed in love of God and neighbor will not be disappointed. The knowledge granted the mind will be the reality of the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In love, we give our minds to the service of love. And in finding the meaning of love, we will find the meaning of life God has revealed to us. Our minds will be gathered up to his mind, and we will understand the meaning of his truth. Dante closed the Divine Comedy with the words, "I raised my eyes aloft, and I beheld the scattered chapters of the universe gathered and bound into a single book by the austere and tender hand of God." O Lord of our wisdom, thrust us forth today into an unending devotion to thy truth revealed in Christ. Save us today from contentment with small thoughts that cost us nothing and give us no reward. Stir within us a passion for thought that costs us everything and gives us all that is needful. Teach us the thrill of living in devotion to thy truth revealed in Christ. Help us to know what is worth knowing, to love what is worth loving, and to praise what alone gives joy and gladness. Grant us loving understanding, an understanding love, known only by those whose life is lived in the life of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.